Hello and welcome to the How to Get an Analytics Job podcast. My name is John David Arianson and I'm your host. I'm what you would call a practicing professor. I have years of experience consulting in the analytics industry and I have years of experience teaching analytics in the classroom at Greensboro College. This podcast is an ecosystem that I developed for my students so that they could get world-class career advice from leading analytics experts. To date, my students have got to ask questions directly to analysts and data scientists from Amazon, Apple, and Google. They've even got to talk directly to CEOs, CMOs, and presidents of companies who have been former clients of mine to get insights on how senior managers use data to drive their business decisions. If you're interested in becoming one of my students, check the links in the description down below. I'm currently offering two programs. One is a one-month career services program, and the other is an analytics apprenticeship program associated with Greensboro College. In both of those programs, we take a three-tiered hybrid approach. So you'll have access to pre-recorded asynchronous lectures, live group lectures in a cohort setting, and one-on-one coaching with experts in the analytics space. On average, our students are gaining about a $16,000 pay increase going through the program. On the high end, we've actually helped someone achieve a $54,000 pay increase. This means that on average, our students are recouping their investment between 1 to 2 months of landing their job. So if you're ready to take your career to the next level, click the links in the description and apply for our program. I would love to get to work with you. With all that being said, I hope you enjoy this podcast episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. So today we're breaking new ground. So John, I know you've got a brand new platform, which you've developed, it's been a year in development at this point?
Yeah, been a little bit over a year. So pretty happy to have this live to show everybody.
Which is huge because that's one of the major problems we've had in our apprenticeship is that, you know, Tableau Public's a great platform for Tableau, but having SQL and Power BI and everything all in one place is really, really powerful. So what we're going to do in this episode, you and I are going to talk for a bit. I've also got, Katie, our new team member, who's actually a hiring manager, she's making her premiere today, and she's going to talk through the perspective of a hiring manager, specifically because I know you can add a video component to your portfolio, and Katie thought that was an amazing idea. We've also got one of our current apprentices who, spoiler alert, just landed her first analytics role.
Nice.
Literally 2 days ago. So I'll kick it off to you and let you kind of just tell us what's going on with this platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll talk a little bit about kind of the importance of a project portfolio if you're trying to market yourself as an analyst first. You know, so a lot of people talk about the cold start problem, how it's really hard to get that first job or even kind of accelerate from you have that first job to move up pretty quickly. Like the beginning of the career is the hardest part of the career for data people. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in there, it's amazing, right? By like a few years experience, you have to fend off employers with a stick. That's an interesting problem to have.
Yeah. Like, going from zero to one is always the hardest part. But once you have some momentum, then you can kind of guide it in different directions.
Yeah. And it's really hard for people. And they try to figure out, like, how do I cut through the noise of all of these people that want to be in this profession? But then you have employers that are saying, we really want somebody with some experience, right? And what the employer is really saying when they are saying they want experience, it's not like time and seat. It's that's sort of their best proxy. But really what they want is you to have the skills to be able to do the job and you know, additionally be somebody that they would like working with, right? Somebody that can add value to the business. And it's really hard to bring that to life on a resume. You know, a resume, it's basically like a note from your mom that says, yeah, John's really good at SQL and Excel, right? Please believe me. versus if you can actually put those projects in front of somebody and show them how you've tackled a business problem, how you've dug for insights, maybe you've done some data infrastructure work, you've come up with some good recommendations for the business, and you can communicate that and tell a story with your actual project. It's just so much better at proving that this is somebody that you would want to have at your company, and you can immediately see that value. So that's why we encourage, and we have for years, we've encouraged analysts to have a great project portfolio as the number one tool that they have to market themselves when they're trying to break in or when they're trying to accelerate an early career. And the challenge, just like you were saying, is if you're strictly a Tableau jockey, Tableau Public has been amazing. You know, if you want to build your own website, and then you could kind of customize it and do everything. But that's not easy. That's really intimidating for a lot of people. And so we just haven't had a great direction to point people in. And that's bothered us. And so for the past, you know, about a little over a year, we've been trying to build a solution that actually makes this really easy. So that the things that the analyst has to do is work on their projects, come up with great business insights, like actual analyst work. And then we make hosting and sharing the platform or their portfolio just super easy. And that's what we set out to solve with this thing.
That's fantastic. Yeah, because I was thinking about the concept of friction. Like you want friction when it comes to learning and expanding your knowledge base. But, you know, developing a website, that's outside of your lane. So having that just slow you down, I think it can be really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
So you guys make it super easy to kind of put it all together. It's really just like a plug and play type of situation, which is amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know if it makes sense at this point to kind of just show you guys the solution.
We can do a demo. Let's see it.
Okay, cool. I think I can share here if I do present. Perfect.
And John, I think we're going to actually be working this into our curriculum moving forward.
I love it.
Yeah. Like we're, cause right now we're working on Excel, Tableau and Power BI in the first month, in our Greensboro College certification. So literally we can have all of that. Oh, and Katie's also going to be teaching SQL as well. So that's literally everything that we're helping students create. Oh, so John just got kicked out. I wonder why that happened. But all right. Let's play some interference here. Katie.
Yes. Hey.
While John is getting back on, why don't you introduce yourself? So you are going to be starting to teach for us moving into next year.
Yep.
So what is your Batman origin story?
Well, I've been in the analytics space for about 5 years. I was an individual contributor for a couple years, mainly focused in the data visualization space, but I have exposure to kind of some of the back end to database development, that kind of stuff. I've been a manager officially now for a year and a half, although I helped with my last team as well to hire some of my fellow teammates. So now I run a team of data analysts. Again, we focus mainly on the data visualization space.
So John is packing back on. What's awesome about you've actually hired one of our podcast guests, and they put together, Dan Sanchez put together his portfolio, and you said that was really valuable. All right, so John, I was just pulling Katie in to just make there's no dead air.
Sorry about that. Yeah, when I tried to share it, it kicked me out of Chrome. So I'm going to try to do that again. Should be good. I've got a new machine.
I've got it pulled up on my screen. Might as well pull in Gabrielle as well.
Since
everybody's here, so you're not just like sitting in the background.
All right,
you got to give me a warning.
All right, perfect.
There we go. Now we can see.
Awesome. The party's that, guys.
No worries.
All right, cool. So I'll walk you through this pretty quick. Our solution, it kind of starts on the front end with this this concept of a showcase where we highlight projects that people have put together. So you can see that at mavenanalytics.io/showcase. It basically is a collection of these previews of projects that different people have built. And I can jump into any of these here. So like if we were to take a look at Lauren's project here, you can see she's got this featured image. She's actually got an integrated embedded Tableau dashboard here. So that's one of the fun things about this. You can embed a Tableau dashboard. You can embed Power BI. You could embed either YouTube or Vimeo. So it makes that like pretty crisp. And all you need is just the link to those reports or to those videos. Then you can have this kind of nicely formatted description of your project. And you see she's even got her SQL code in here. So this is a pretty good example here where Lauren's done a great job of talking about kind of her exploration of the data, her thought process, the analysis, how she got to know the data, specifically with actual SQL code snippets here, you know, and then her takeaways. And you could see it quickly linked to her other projects. So that's basically kind of what it looks like on the front end to someone else who's seeing a project. And if we go to just to go a little bit further, you can see what an actual portfolio looks like for somebody. So a portfolio, you could think of it as a collection of projects, which you see here down the right hand side, and then some information about the person on the left. And that's kind of like your more about me. So on the left, you can have links out to your socials. So if you're active on LinkedIn, we would encourage kind of everybody should have LinkedIn. And then if you're in other places like TikTok or YouTube, actually TikTok, I don't think we have embedded here yet, but sorry, Twitter or YouTube as well. And nice. Then you can see credentials that people have earned if they're on our platform. I'll show you when I walk you through kind of the back end where you build this. I can show you how you can hide this. So you don't have to be a Maven student. This is a free solution that we just put out there for everybody. So all you have to do, you have to sign up for a free account, but you don't have to be somebody who's taken our courses. This is just...
We literally have someone just ask that in the chat.
Yeah. So it's out here. Just go use it. You do have to sign up for an account. So you have to give an email and a password to have an account. So then we'll create a profile for you with that account. But it's literally no dollars. It's not like gated that you can use it for a certain amount of time. It's free forever solution. So enjoy, go nuts and hope this works out for you. This is for folks who are Maven students. They can showcase their top skills. And this is based on assessments that we deliver in the platform. And you can have a little bit more information about kind of where folks have worked, education, that type of stuff. So that is, that's the back end or the front end that someone else will see. And I will pop in here and I'll sign in and I'll show you guys what it looks like as an actual user. I'll build a project for you pretty quickly live. So I'll go into my individual account. And so if you're in the Maven dashboard, like some folks may be familiar with, if not, no big deal. In this left-hand rail, this navigation has project portfolio as an option. And here I can go and look at my profile or I can add a new project. So I don't have any projects. I'll show you what the profile looks like to start with. And so I don't have any projects in here. I've got some information that's automatically ported in. If I want to add some things, I can edit the profile. So I'll just show you kind of how easy that is. If I wanted to put in an avatar, I can just pop in that. It's pretty easy. And then back to the, that should update real time. Yeah, you can see, you can have that there. So it kind of looks a little more personalized. So any of the things, if you wanted to change on the profile, so sort of that left-hand section of your portfolio, it's pretty easy to change here. This is the one, this one spot is, you can't change it. This is that public URL for your profile, but you can have your email in here. You can have occupation, information, biography. One thing I'll point out before I go into the actual projects is, so if you look at my profile here, back to the live site, there's a section for Maven credentials and top skills. And so anybody who's not using the Maven platform, it kind of looks weird to have this section that's empty. So we just made that toggleable. So You can say show final skills assessment, turn off, show Maven badges, turn off. And then if I save that, and I recommend everybody do that, like if it's good to have these sections if they're populated and if they're strong, but if they're not, just kick those off. And then you see they just went away. So, and that's similar, like the additional links. If I don't have any additional links, I'd probably kick that one off too. And any of these, like if you didn't want to show social links, work experience or education, you also have the ability to toggle on if you're available for a full-time role or for a part-time work or freelance opportunities. Right now, there's no front-end expression of this. It's just a back-end field. What it does allow is for if folks are looking for work and people come to Maven all the time looking for talent, it allows us to quickly kind of filter and say, hey, go check out these profiles. We don't have any business around that right now. It's just kind of like because people ask and because students who use this want to get jobs, we're just sort of happy to make those connections. It's not something we monetize today. Sometime in the future, we may build a recruiter side of the platform. But for now, we're just really focused on making this the talent side as strong as we possibly can. So that's the profile. And then so next, I want to show you guys what adding a project looks like. So this is, again, this is the front end that's public. If you're logged in and you're on your profile, you can just click here to add your first project and you'll see what that looks like. You can also get to that in the dashboard as well. So I've got a bunch of stuff. I'm actually going to use this and plug one of my bootcamp students who is awesome. And I'm going to use one of his projects because I've got a nice PowerPoint with all his text and his images. And I'm just going to quickly copy some of the stuff in. So I'll just kind of show you guys what this looks like. So you give it a title and that will show up on that main showcase page. Next you'll put in a hero image in this featured project image. And again, that's what's going to show up on that main profile page. You'll also have this little project excerpt and that will show up as a sort of a description underneath the title. So you can go with a little bit more text and then you can have a project description and I'll kind of build this in stages. So I'll build this as a pretty quick one and just show you kind of what it looks like real time as we go in there. So now if I come in here and I refresh, you can see that I haven't published. So let's see. So I need to hit published. Here we go. Okay, cool. So I think that should, now that I hit publish, it should show up there. Yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
So now if anybody else on the front end is clicking on this, they'd be able to see this thing live. And I'll show you some additional stuff that we could do too. One thing that's pretty cool is just being able to show the projects, the tools that you use for the project. So for this one, he used SQL for the analysis and then Microsoft Excel for the front end data visualizations. Great combo. That combo has been my bread and butter for my career, for anybody who's curious. And then you can also have additional images here. And I'm actually going to just drop a bunch of images. I'll drop those all in here at once because I have them from his project. So I popped in an EER diagram, a growth chart, year-over-year sales comparison, and you'll see all this stuff live when we take a look at the project. So now if I go back here, you can see we've got this project description, we've got these additional projects, and then I'm going to do a couple more things just to kind of keep building this thing real time. So back to the basic information, I had this project description as like a pretty quick sentence. What I will do is actually, I'll kind of do what sort of more like what Lauren did and have this entire project detailed here. I just need to copy this, but you'll see, just see how that can work. And I won't go into the kind of the fancy markup that she used here, but you can see there is a little bit of markup on this. So the double asterisk creates bolding. So this whole thing supports markup and there is actually markdown. There's a markdown cheat sheet that actually, I'll show you that real quick. So this kind of allows everybody to see kind of the different styling that you can do real time that's already built into the platform. So that's pretty slick and pretty easy to get done. And then you can see kind of, we got this nice, longer description that walks through everything. And in here, I think one thing that's interesting to note. So right now, basically the way that you work with text and with images is you kind of have the text like this, and then images are at the bottom. But there is sort of a hacky way right now to kind of intersperse, have text and then image and then text and image. And I think that's a really good way to present it. So if I go back to the showcase, I'll show you somebody who's done that. It's a little more complicated right now, and it requires using Markdown and linking out to images that you've got somewhere else. But so this is an example where, he's
that looks
here.
Polished.
Yeah. So he's got like some text and then the charts and then text. So this, I would recommend this as kind of the gold standard, to do that. You can check out it's Vahan's profile. You can see him on the showcase. You can also search the showcase. I'll show you how to do that in a second. But right now it's a little more cumbersome to do that. So future enhancements, we're absolutely going to tackle, making this a little bit easier for folks, because it's just a great way to present it. So, any questions so far? I've got one more thing that I want to show you guys actually. But if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to pause, because I've been talking about it for a while.
Okay. So I don't have any questions other than, well, I guess I have a comment. This looks fantastic. What I think would be great would be to get Katie's perspective on someone who is out on the opposite end of the hiring table. What are the benefits? And actually what I was thinking, we didn't necessarily plan this, but you know, I do like to put people on the spot. Maybe what we could do is have Gabrielle have a portfolio review from Katie. Because I think one of the really cool things, and Katie, actually kind of wants you to like yes and everything that John just did with, what is the value, Katie, in your opinion, as a hiring manager, of having video on the profile?
Well, I think a video is like an extra interview in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a way to get to know somebody, and maybe answer some of those basic questions that every interviewer asks, you know, tell me about yourself, or why are you interested in getting into analytics, or, you know, every hiring manager will ask that no matter what role you're applying for. And so I think, you know, if you could create a video that answers some of those, I mean, text is cool too. It's a good step, but a video is an even better step. It's like an extra, you don't have to waste time in the interview talking about that stuff. You could talk about other things. Gives you as the applicant kind of a competitive edge. I mean, this whole thing gives you a competitive edge, but that video in particular, I think, could be a very cool way to introduce yourself.
Yeah, and I was trying to very very slickly add a video while you were talking about that, and I've got something off in here. Cool. So I've got YouTube video link here. I mean, that should work. But
all right, so as a professor, instructor, educator, what I like about the video is that it's an opportunity for me to coach my students on another level. Because Gabrielle can attest to how grueling my interview prep process is.
I think it was just me in general that had issues with it.
So what do we do? It's funny because, like, John, you're like beta testing new ideas. I'm beta testing on your beta test.
Yeah.
So Gabrielle, what do we do this week?
You basically coached me on communicating my dashboard, and that was interesting
traumatic
for me. A little dramatic. Traumatic.
Well, so John, what we did was we put together a very specific use case, looking at inventory analysis, and then I had her present it, gave her feedback, and then we recorded it, her presenting it. And what's kind of cool about that is that it being recorded added an extra layer of pressure to where she like was really kind of in her head and thinking about it, which I think that's probably more pressure than an interview setting, knowing you're being recorded, especially because, like, John, you and I do, we've done a ton of courses, so I'm not really in my head about it anymore, but it was really interesting seeing how much pressure, Gabrielle, you felt, because what we ended up doing was almost like a call and response thing. Where it kind of helped me show, like, here's a great way to present this finding, And we broke it up into three steps, and I asked you a question, then you responded. And I ended up just splicing your responses together of you presenting your findings.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a strong way to show, like, actually bring yourself to life as a potential analyst. It's fantastic. So I did finally get the video in there. It was much easier than I made it look. I just didn't have a I didn't have a title on the video, and so I just put a title on there, and it works. Thank you, Leilu, for pointing that out. So should awesome. Do you want me to navigate? Should I go to Gabrielle's project? Should
okay. So I've actually got to pull it up right here. So I think I'll just share my second screen, and we can just pull hers up. Oh, I gotta pull Iris off. Yeah, and I think what we could do is right now it's pretty bare bones. I mean, Gabrielle, you only had like literally we just worked on it this week, but this was specifically the project that we were looking at. And I know right now, John, you guys are working on a solution to where you guys can have emails hosted, because right now we just have an image of the Power BI dashboard on there.
Yeah,
and
that's
just a placeholder.
Yeah, we haven't figured that out yet. I think Aaron's working on that right now. So I don't really know the timing on that. But yeah, we basically need to be able to provision an email so that people can kind of get on our Power BI to be able to do live Power BI server stuff.
Right.
So John David, the video actually was nice to have, since they don't have the email yet through Maven Analytics, because I think there's only like one thing you can embed at a time, I think, right? So I can't have the video and an interactive dashboard.
Yeah, that's correct. Right now, there's just one embeddable image. We're talking about that for the future enhancements as well, potentially.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is a really, really cool opportunity, because it gives me one thing that I notice when we're doing like mock interviews and people are running through presenting things. I don't know why this – I do know. At least I have an inkling of the psychology of this. Of most people who are brand new to analytics over-explain, and they jump right specifically into the details. And it's like, no, back it up. And then this was a great practice of you have something really polished in this video right here of you presenting in a very functional and effective way, which I think is so, so cool. So also too, Katie, I would like to get your opinions on just overall, specifically this, the about this project. Because John, you just showed some amazing examples of
people
who did like a detailed, but I mean, Gabrielle, don't feel bad. I think those other people have had a lot more time to work on their projects. But I think some value add that we could have in this video is, all right, John, you did an amazing job of showcasing the platform. Now let's get some thoughts from Katie on how can you make your projects and your portfolio really pop and stand out? We're going to take a quick pause from the episode so that I can give you some more information about our career services program. Over the last 4 years, I have developed a very effective approach to teaching the foundations of analytics. And I've taken that same curriculum from my case studies and business analytics class at Greensboro College and turned it into a career services program. So if you've ever thought to yourself as you're listening to this podcast, man, John David students are really lucky, you can have a very similar experience to them, just check the link in the description down below. My career services program offers you an analytics foundations curriculum. So this will shore up any gaps in knowledge that you might have in landing either a promotion or maybe even your very first analytics job. And then you get to work one-on-one with me to help build your personal brand. So we will look at your resume and also help you develop a customized portfolio. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Cool. Well, the first thing I see, or something I like to see that I don't see here, is the audience for your project. When you're building, and it's a common kind of learning curve, I guess, that I would, or how I would phrase it with new analysts, that they build dashboards a lot that they would like, they themselves would like to see, or they find five interesting things and they say, let me put all five interesting things on the page because they're all interesting. And, you know, depending upon who your audience is, you don't always show everything that's interesting. You show what they're asking for. So it's a common piece of feedback that I give to new analysts and something I look for in potential roles is, do you have an understanding on who you built this dashboard for and what they care about? It's a little hard. I get it when you're building your own portfolio because you kind of have to fabricate all of that. And it's hard to say who might care about this data or something. No one's asking you to look at this data in the first place. So who's going to care about it or who the audience is? But, you know, take a stab. It could be multiple different people. Stakeholders usually care about a given data set. And so I see that missing here. And I see that could be an easy way to add, like, I built this dashboard for XYZ who is caring about ABC. And so here was the three takeaways.
Okay.
I don't know if that's in the video or not.
Gabrielle, are you taking notes on this?
I am.
Okay. So, and that's what's so cool about this specific use case is, Gabrielle, who is the end user here?
It's like an inventory manager.
Yes.
Basically.
And they already had it in mind, which is great.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that it was almost like I had to fight. Like, I was like, Gabrielle, here's the use case. And it's modeled after literally the business case that the CEO from the apprenticeship program carved out. So we're looking at margin analysis over time. And he wants to spot which days are they falling below a certain threshold. Because then they need to like rework either cut employees or sell more that day or mess with the variables there. To where, Gabrielle, you felt like this was way too simple. You like wanted to show
I thought it was simple because the one that I did for your client was actually like a lot more elaborate. So I tried to make it like replicate it exactly, but it does help to sort of simplify it and just focus on exactly like what is it that I'm trying to convey instead of just like having all these things.
Okay. That's an interesting idea to expound upon. John and Katie, what do you guys think about making simpler projects that look more polished? Because this is almost like a data app is how I kind of framed it up. It's like you have a very specific business outcome or business like situation that you are studying versus I think a lot of the dashboards that I see out there are just, it's almost like they're ever expanding and they're showing more and more. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll go first. Okay. I totally agree with simpler is better usually. Again, it goes back to the audience question, honestly, that I mentioned earlier. Your audience is probably not someone who's super data savvy. And so they probably have a saturation point of how many metrics they can consume at one time. And so I've done this in my own work too. But I also like to see examples, you know, it's usually a series of simpler visuals. So you usually have to break it up into more than one dashboard. And it depends on who your audience is. If you're lucky and you build for like super data inclined people, super technical people, maybe you can get away with a really big dashboard that shows some cool things. But I generally lean and advise towards simpler is better. You don't want people spending time trying to understand what they're looking at on the page. You want that to be so intuitive. You don't have to explain it. Like a gold standard, I think, is if you don't have to demo your dashboard. You don't have to say, now, here's the three metrics at the top and here's what they mean. And then here's the three charts and here's what they mean. And here's how you can interact and stuff. It's really tricky to get there. But if you can get to a point where you don't even have to demo and they can just read it and see what's going on and get the insights, then you spend the time, you know, they ask questions about something more detailed or turns into a different conversation about what else you learned in your analysis rather than how do I navigate this dashboard and what is this dashboard telling me? So I think simpler is the way to go most of the time on your work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much with you. I think like, let's say you analyze 20 different things. There's no way all 20 of them are going to be of the same importance, right? So if I'm trying to communicate 20 different things to an audience, it's going to be hard for them to pull out like the top two or three things that they really need to take away. So what sometimes we'll do, like you could have different dashboards that's like the executive summary and then all the details, and you know, your peer analyst might actually want to review everything, but the C-level or you know, the marketing director, product directors, whatever, they're probably going to stick to that executive summary, you know, so you can kind of compartmentalize that way. But yeah, definitely agree. I think trying to do too much is, it's a recipe for just kind of losing people's attention versus doing something that's succinct and really powerful and really to the point about the most impactful insights, as well as you can. I think that's the goal.
Yeah. And I think also too, what I really like about this use case is the business side of this. So Gabrielle, you actually did research into inventory planning.
Very briefly, because I just needed, because I was trying to wrap my brain around it when I was trying to communicate to you. And I'm like, I just need to like look up something so I can actually feel like I understand what I'm talking about.
Well, what's the game in demand planning?
It's basically like supply and demand. So your sales, it's on the video. Are you going to make me say it again? It was so, I'm telling you, no, you traumatized
me. We could just watch the video.
We did so many takes.
Yeah, but that was good though, because it's like you're presenting under pressure. And it, you know, it panned out. Like you yeah. just landed, yeah, I just, what, you literally landed a job, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah, about 2 days ago, I think.
And,
or maybe it was it yesterday? I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm, first of all, congratulations. Thank you. So happy for you. And I'm proud of you. You worked hard for this. But so yeah, essentially what I think that this is challenging for a lot of portfolios, because it's like you just study data and then you go into, oh, you know what the difference is? Explanatory versus exploratory analysis. I think most, John, what are your thoughts on this? I think most dashboards are probably exploratory analysis, right?
Yeah, I mean, and especially if it's like a tool for you as the analyst to figure out what you want to tell the story about, they're great tools for exploratory. And then, you know, you might want to have something that's like a little more narrow, a little more like a little more focused once you have the story and you're trying to present it to somebody. And it might, you know, it might be a dashboard, it might be in a PowerPoint presentation, it might be an email with a few, you know, charts that you send over, whatever the form kind of matters less, but the content, you know, like I look at a ton of stuff that I never end up showing anybody because it's, mm-hmm. it's not the most valuable stuff that you find. And then you kind of got to pare it down to the stuff that people are going to take action on and actually move the needle.
Yep.
Gotcha. All right. So let's get back to this. So about this project, we got two sentences.
Yeah.
Katie, which, Gabrielle, I know we had a quick turnaround time on this, but Katie, how would you structure something like that? Would you have like an introduction? Do you have something about the business use case? Like how would you like someone to position their portfolio work to you?
I think when you're probably for any role, but also when you're just starting out, one of the things that you need to prove in an interview is your thought process of how you get to the end results as well. So it can prove to hiring managers that you can do it again and again. You're really your analytics thought process. So I would probably like to see it framed up as, you know, here was a problem statement. Here's what I was tasked with. Maybe here's a little bit about the data that I had available or decided to use, you know, here's how I approach getting my results. It could be, you know, in this platform, it could be actually pasting your code in there, or it could be, you know, just talking through it. And then finally, here's the results that we found, or I don't know, maybe you flip it on its head, but anyways, those big sections. I think another thing that comes, you know, to mind here that's missing is how did you get to that result. To me, when I'm interviewing, that's equally as important as what did you find? How did you get there? What kind of things did you consider? Kind of to John's point earlier, like I'm just as interested in knowing that you went down paths that you're not actually showing me in the end, because it shows that you analyzed the data completely rather than just necessarily focused on one question. Because sometimes you end up showing things, you know, people don't know what they're asking for sometimes too. And so as a job as an analyst, you have to look at the entire picture of the data set, and you give them what they asked for, but then sometimes you give them other stuff too that like you never asked about this, but this is an interesting part of the data set too. So anyways, to sum it all up, one other thing that I think is missing here is kind of the approach that you took for the analysis and maybe some interesting things you found that maybe weren't part of your original problem statement, but you decided to include later on because you found them so interesting.
Okay, so this is an interesting point. Gabrielle, you had to create a calendar table, right?
Yeah, so originally I created like an actual calendar table with all the days in there. But it wasn't really visually that appealing because all the in-stock percentages landed on a Friday anyways. I mean, it was just like for the whole week, but they were on just the Friday in the calendar. So only Friday was highlighting. So we just ended up making it by week. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about like a calendar table in the data model view. Isn't that what you had to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
okay,
not
so
this one specifically. Okay, yeah.
But so that is a tactic that you might have to do on the back end. Right. Katie, are you saying that like here the like you can't see this, but under the hood, here's what I had to do? Do you like, and John, maybe you can weigh in on this too. Like if you're doing things that are underneath the surface that are not manifesting as a visualization, but like you had to clean, for example, cleaning the data. That's so simple. Would you have like a blurb in there or a section of data governance, like how would you like someone to present that to you?
I was actually not really meaning that, although I do think that's interesting to know the technical kind of side and setup of how you build your data model. Of course, people, that's a big piece of what you need to do, that sometimes you have a visual in mind and you don't, your data isn't structured the right way, and so you need to restructure your data or add in like this date bridge in order to do that. What I actually meant was probably more about what Gabrielle was saying earlier, that she had to learn pieces about inventory. So more of the mindset of how you go about your analysis, that sometimes you have to do some research on your subject before you go about looking into it. Sometimes you have to go talk to a subject matter expert and have that sort of conversation. So I was really meaning more of the mindset of how to perform a good analysis, or what kinds of things did you consider while you were doing this? But I could see how both could be helpful. You were kind of talking about the more technical side of how to build the end view that you're talking about, which is good too.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, cool. So John, is there anything else that you wanted to showcase?
I mean, just kind of along those lines, I think it's interesting to think about just like what makes a really good analyst. And I think, the stuff that Gabrielle is doing is it shows a lot of it, you know. So I think we talk about the technical data skills being really, really important. We talk about communicating your findings being really, really important. And then there's also this like business acumen or domain expertise, right? Like anyone who's a really, really effective analyst has figured out the nuances of the whatever business they're applying the analytics to, you know. Like there's no such thing as like an amazing analyst that doesn't get the business that they're working on. It's just, that's just not a thing, you know. That might be a thing for, you know, predictive modelers or if somebody else is handing you like a very scoped project and saying, hey, go run a predictive model, I've already thought about the inputs, go do that. But even that is pretty rare. You know, you're more likely to find a full stack person that can think about what the inputs should be to the model. So I think you did a great job of showing kind of all of those three things potentially, if you watch the video, which I did before. So, yeah.
Well, John, and to piggyback off what you're saying, I think that is the transition you have to go through if you want to go from entry level to mid to senior, or even to management, is your relationship to the business. Like a lot of my students that are coming out of Greensboro College are just basically dashboard machine factories. Like they're just going in and they're like, here, create this dashboard, these KPIs, these metrics, these visualizations. And that is, it's just kind of low critical thinking.
Yeah.
Because then it's just like, go and just churn this out versus, you know, using some judgment of, because maybe they send you, hey, here are the requirements for this dashboard. And you can say, you know what? You didn't consider this aspect of the business. That I think is really where you start to stand out, and
yeah,
you can get a promotion, and you're also, I think, just worth more economically speaking to a business.
Yep.
Because then you're helping mitigate risk. You're also potentially increasing overall sales or cutting costs. Like, you're starting to almost look at the playbook.
Yeah.
And you're not just, you know, waiting to, you know, take an order for someone.
Like, you're
not
exactly just an order taker. I was about to say the order taker, the same analogy there, you know, like trying to transition from an order taker to an advisor. And so even it's people when they're more junior in like their first analyst role, they feel like this might not be appropriate, but like somebody comes to you who's a VP of something and they want you to spin up some report and they think this is the dream report. If you can say like, yeah, that stuff's pretty good, but there's also this other thing that's really important for your business that you should be looking at. That's like in that person's eyes, your value jumps tremendously and the way they talk to you will change. You know, that you'll get looped in on more projects when you can mm-hmm. be somebody who's proactive like that, then you kind of become this more like trusted advisor. And I think that's, you can do that early. You don't have to wait. It's more about like, can you think proactively about the business and be that expert? So
I was going to say, let me brag on Hunter a bit. He's already starting to do that with me.
Awesome.
He's like starting to look into the future and say, all right, well, let's create this data set because I know that, you know, for example, for, he is going to reach it back to our alumni to see, you know, what is the delta? What is before the program, once they landed the job, how much to change? And then he's going to build a dashboard. So we can then bring that into sales meetings and like filter by like demographics. Say, oh, you know, you're a female in your 30s. Let's drill down on that. Typically, we've had 15 people in that demographic come through. On average, they've got $20,000 of a pay increase. So that's like, you're starting to... have you ever heard this concept called founder's mentality? So it's the founder's mentality is like you own the business instead of just like the business the way you're relating to the business is, oh, I'm just getting a paycheck. They send me things to do. I toil away and then send it back. And then they send me money versus I'm invested in this business. And I think showing that level of investment to, you know, any manager, It helps, you know, you're shouldering a little bit of that risk that they're taking on and managing a team.
Yeah. We talk about the same thing. We talk about it as ownership, you know, like some people, whether it's for like, I'm in charge of this channel or this project, this, you know, it might be a product that we're selling, whatever, people that kind of take ownership. And I think it's the same, just different terminology. And like, you know what those metrics are that you're trying to move and you'll come up with any which way to beg, borrow, or steal your way to move those numbers higher, like, you know, like an owner of business would. So it's, yeah, that's totally on the same page there.
All right, cool. So I feel bad we've been neglecting the chat. Thanks to everybody who's been tuning in. So Tafia is asking, I love this, but I'm curious. What is the expectation of a recent graduate or entry-level data analyst? Not all at once, everyone.
I'll take it.
All right.
I would say yes, it's an expectation, but not that you're, again, especially on the business domain piece, it's not about that you've already mastered, you know, we're not expecting, you know, I'm not expecting, I assume most hiring managers aren't expecting you know the business in and out, you've never worked in the business, but proving that you can learn that way and that you want to learn that way is the expectation. As far as the technical stuff we've talked about, I would say that's expected of an entry-level analyst here. So it's that soft skills and the business knowledge. It's not an expectation that you've perfected it. Certainly not. That's the role of your manager to help you grow, and just time and experience you'll grow. But it is essential that you prove that you can learn that way and that you want to learn that way. You recognize that's part of the role and that you have a good example showing that you've done that already.
Yeah. I'd say pretty similar. I think one thing I'll throw on too is like, sometimes you'll see in an entry-level job, like 8 different tools that you need to be an expert in, like a crazy, crazy list, that just is very unrealistic from my perspective. And I think those are things, writing job recs is kind of hard for one. It might not be done by somebody who has the best view of what this person is actually going to do. So I think when you see something like that looks crazy, see if you can like try to peel a layer of the onion deeper and figure out like, what do I really think are like the two most important things on here? And if you're really solid with those two, you're probably okay to have, you know, to even say you have familiarity or I've never touched the other ones, because most likely you're not doing eight different functions simultaneously. That's just not how most of the roles are crafted. So.
Okay. So I'm going to get a little bit nuanced on this. So I just had a lunch meeting with the president of a company yesterday, and I was asking him about this, about what do you look for in the hiring process? And it really kind of breaks down into two verticals. Well, I guess the conversation we had. So skills are pretty like transient. So you can lose skills. I mean, you can build skills, but it's almost like the Red Queen. Like you're having to like work at it to maintain that, especially with like Power BI, they update every single month. So you might master it this month, but then 3 months later, they come up with a massive update and all of that is irrelevant. That seems like somewhat of a moving target. It doesn't stay put to where what I think you should signal in the interview process is strong character. So are you reliable? Are you ethical? I think that's a big one that it took me a while to like wrap my head around this. Cause like business ethics, when I was in my MBA, I was like, yeah, who does bad stuff? It happens. So like if you're going to be honest, and I think the big one that especially young people, if you have grit, if you can stick it out and you can work hard, I think a lot of people or most people aren't super consistent and can really like buckle down and hammer things out when things get tough. So those are a little bit tricky to signal in the interview process. I think it's, I guess what you could do is what I love about the platform is it showcases the skills and like something tangible. But what you have with specifically the about this project is you can tell a narrative. So you can say, hey, my name is Gabrielle. I'm a new analyst. I actually researched inventory analysis or inventory planning quite a bit. Here's the game that we're playing. Here are my sources for what I studied. And then here's the manifestation within the dashboard. And here's the use case. So I think that shows that kind of resourcefulness, and you're critically thinking about the problem. You're not just, building on a dashboard and just randomly kind of clicking buttons. So, all right. Dustin had something. So, and this is probably something we were talking about a little while ago. I think providing an end-to-end process map of the project would be helpful in demonstrating one's ability to acquire, transform, and use to solve the business problem. All right, that was interesting wording. What do you guys think on that?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that was touched on before, when you were saying you want to understand that the process that people go through, and that could look like a number of different things, but from framing the business problem, diving into the data to just like understand what you're working with. Are there any problems with it? Are you doing a cleaning exercise? Are you pretty good to go? But at least even vetting that to understand, do you need to? And then, talking about the data model, talking about what you looked into, and then kind of what were your final insights? Like kind of, I think that's probably what Dustin's talking about there is kind of mapping that out, which I totally agree. I think putting that together is really strong.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay. This is an interesting question. So essentially I'll condense this down. John, what's your advice on someone who is working on a project but hasn't finished it? Can you just save it as a draft and not publish it?
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And I would call, consider your portfolio a moving target. I would say don't wait to have a portfolio until you think you're perfect, because I'm not perfect. Nobody's, I've been doing this for a long time. Everybody in this field has a long way to go. So don't wait. But you can replace stuff. Like if you get better projects, you can replace stuff. Like I'd say a perfect example of this is students who have been in our boot camp. We take them through Excel and then they do an Excel project. We take them through SQL, they do a SQL project. And after each project, we give them critiques and feedback, and they actually get better at telling this story about their process, about the insights that they're finding. And so by the end, they're awesome. And they look at their first project and they're like, oh man, this stinks. Like, I don't want this to be out there anymore. And so a lot of them actually end up going and repackaging them and kind of like, like doing it again. So I'd say that's like, you could do that. You could update things to polish them. You could retire older ones if you've got better ones, but yeah, consider it a moving target.
Mm-hmm. All right, Katie, I'm focusing this on you. All right. As a hiring manager, would you rather see a lot of unpolished projects or one or two really, really sharp projects?
The second option. I only need to see a really good example or two. I mean, I'd much rather see a good example or two, because I'm not going to dig through 10 of your projects anyways. So if you show me which ones, and that's the featured section is cool in this platform. But if you show me, and Tableau Public has a similar section mm-hmm. too, like I only need a couple of examples. If they're good enough examples, I'll get what I need from the first one or two. And certainly if it's not in the first one or two, like practically, I'm not going to go through 10 of your examples to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I much more lean towards, you know, I agree, like you build as you go, you put what's out there now. And then later on, when you have something better, take it off. You don't need to keep your first drafts. But yeah, I would go for the project that could showcase all of the skills versus a project that shows each skill individually or things like that. But if it takes you a little while to get there, that's okay too. Put what you have and then iterate as you go.
Okay. So I have another follow-up question. A new idea has kind of popped in my mind. Do you think that a portfolio, there should be a major difference between a person applying for entry level versus mid to senior for their projects?
I think a mid to senior person can answer more complex questions.
Okay. So that's kind of the change there, is that.
So it might be, yeah. And they might be able to manipulate the data more.
Okay.
And do just more complex work. So I'm not sure if on the surface level, the presentation would be much different. As far as we talked about earlier, the framing of here was the problem, here was the data, here was the path I took, here was the solution, like that probably applies to both groups, but it's the level of complexity of the question. I think, you know, certainly your first entry level role, they're not going to give you the hardest question to answer. You're going to start out on easier questions. There's no expectation that you get the hardest question to answer. But I think that's a way, if you're going from entry to mid or senior level, you pick a more challenging question, either in the sense that it's, you know, just a more valuable question to the business, or you need to combine more data to get that answer. It kind of depends on, you know, there's different flavors and ways to interpret complex. But that's what I would say would be the difference.
Oh, that's interesting. So the projects would look somewhat similar. Like, so it's almost like there's a threshold of polish that the portfolio.
Yeah, I think there's like a template one could get to, or a process or a path, you know, that all data projects probably follow a similar path. It's mm-hmm. just how complex is it? Is it one data? Is it a single, like as a very tangible example, is it a single Excel table that you're analyzing and coming up with insights? Or is it, you know, five Excel tables that you're joining together, or is it from five different systems that you're pulling data together? I mean, it goes just to the complexity. Or is it a question? Is it a question that's been solved before and you're just bringing in one new piece, mm-hmm. like one new view on it? Or is it a question that the company has never been able to solve before because they've never been able to get the data or mm-hmm. join together the right way or something? That's like the different ways it could be complex. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool. We are rapidly approaching on the hour mark. John, do you have any things that we've missed so far? I mean, I feel like there's so much here.
You know, I think we covered a lot of good stuff. In terms of our platform, just, I think I said it before, but this is free. Anybody can use it. So, you know, definitely do it. Yeah. I mean, like we talked about, don't wait. Don't think you have to be perfect. Like that's one of the fun things about our career path is like, you will never be perfect. You'll always have mm-hmm. something more to learn. And that's like, if it's good, if you like that, if you don't like that, it's probably not a good career path. Like you'll cap out pretty right. soon. But yeah, it's just, I think really, really great perspectives here and just congratulations to Gabriella. That's pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah. I was gonna say, Gabriella, you what? about double your salary, right?
Yeah, I have actually more than doubled my salary.
Oh, man. I am so happy for you. That's huge. Yes. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody in the live chat. I feel like we've been kind of focused on the platform this episode, but you know, John, we're probably going to be using this in our curriculum moving forward. So I wanted it to not, you know, be super chaotic. I want the students to be able to follow this, but
love it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
If you, John David, or anybody who's using this, anybody in the chat, consider this our, you know, our MVP, minimum viable product to launch it. We're definitely going to be rapidly enhancing it. So, you know, come shoot us a note at Maven Analytics. If there's anything you're like, man, I wish it could do this, but it doesn't yet. We've already gotten some of those in the past week, and we've built a couple things, and we'll continue to do that. So let us know. We might build it for you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I'm curious, were there any valuable insights or lessons that you learned? One thing that could hugely help us out is if you just took 30 seconds and left us a review with a little blurb about what you learned. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.